I think the court below was in error in not granting our motion for summary judgment with respect to the fact that Section 2.3, I believe, reads as a matter of law that this, the word request means request. It does not mean as by as a
tax
suggestion.
Doesn't that make the contract pointless? Mm-hmm. Since the distributor always had the right to request, and it amounts to saying that all the contract provides is that after Biomet terminates a distributorship, you have a right to sell the goods for your own account. Period. In your view, putting a period at the end of TACT has a right to sell has a clause with the very same meaning as the actual clause.
And what point would there be in giving TACT a choice in its sole discretion if you then have the right unilaterally to negate that choice?
What I'm suggesting is the word request actually gives Biomet an option at a fixed price, and it makes commercial sense. Under 1.12, during the term, there was a 20% restocking charge for anything they returned. Why, during the term of the contract, would we ever, where we're trying to keep a relationship going, charge a 20% restocking charge, and then at the end, where there is no relationship to keep going, would we eliminate it? Unless we got a trade-off for something. And what we bought for that was the following. We bought an option that they could continue to distribute the goods if they wanted to, or they got an we got an option that was already fixed the price as to at what price we would buy them. So the word request really, instead of TAC, which wants to just read it out of the contract, and of course all the cases say you can't do that, what you need to do, it has commercial sense if you say request really means gives Biomet the option.
Well,
we could option the goods and
Forgive me. I mean, even though the word request is used, other terms seem to indicate that it's that's a right that belongs exclusively to TACT, such as that TACT can request repurchases at sole discretion and that it's entitled to those rights unless it was the party responsible for termination of the agreement. So I think that your interpretation would really render those other terms meaningless.
Judge Rovner, if I can suggest what 2.3, and bear in mind it was written by TACT, and the evidence is clear that if there is a irregularity there, it should be construed against TACT. But I think it can be made.
Where does that principle come from?
I believe we cited in our cases, Your Honor, the Indiana provisions with respect to
where does that appear in the Indiana version of the Uniform Commercial Code?
It is not in the Indiana Commercial Code, Your Honor. It is the case law of the state of Indiana with respect to construction of contracts. But I will remove the detour that I created for myself with respect to the construction and just answer Judge Ropner's question. Section 2.3, I think the word sole discretion means that TACT, as the owner of these goods, has an option. But what they've got is the sole discretion to decide whether they're going to continue to sell the product, which they could do, or they could. There's an option for Biomet. If TACT wants them to buy them back, Biomet can buy them back at a fixed price. It creates what's a commercially reasonable interpretation of Section 2.3, and frankly, I believe the only commercially reasonable interpretation, and indeed the one that, but for TACT wanting to make a spite shipment to reduce the value of these goods, indeed would have in fact occurred in connection with this agreement as it unwound. It is, you know, Section 1.12, which is the provision for return during the term of the agreement, is very clear that TACT is entitled to return goods. There's no suggestion that it's permissive. Yet in 2.3, which is the provision which is after termination, it says request, and that word must mean something. And I believe that the court should have used a commercial interpretation that made it permissive and given Biomet the right. I would also suggest that under the Allen versus Cedar case, I don't think this was an issue for the jury in any event, because here you have an ambiguity which was created as a result of the wording of the contract itself, not by extrinsic evidence. Nothing. There's no definition out there in the trade or usage or nothing. No extrinsic evidence that makes this contract language of 2.3 somewhat cumbersome. Therefore, I believe it was a contract construction that should have been decided by the court as to what it means and not presented to the jury. Finally, I would just like, my time is fleeting here, I see, I would like to just briefly visit the fact that I believe Biomet was entitled to its attorney's fees in connection with the defense of this matter.
Can I just
yes.
set out my thoughts on that? Because in prevailing on the ICC case, on the ICC issue, it seems to me that you merely established that TAC failed to properly exercise its right to obtain repurchase of the goods, and so you don't have to repurchase them. How is that a breach of contract by TAC that would entitle you to attorney's fees, given that TAC wasn't required to request repurchase? So its failure to do so wouldn't breach an obligation under the contract, would it?
It's a unique situation, Your Honor, and I acknowledge it because TAC never filed a breach of contract action. But what happened, when you look at the indemnity provision of 3.2, what it was supposed to protect Biomet from was having to pay lots of money in defending a case where TAC is acting in violation of the agreement. TAC here sent these goods to the United States, caused this all of this litigation to be precipitated.
What's the violation of the agreement? Mm-hmm. Since you agreed that TAC would have been within its rights to drop everything into the Marianas Trench, TAC would have been within its rights to sell the goods for half price in Japan and undercut Biomet's effort to establish its own business there. And why is sending them to O'Hare and paying $9,000 a month for storage, all of which TAC is doing, a violation of the agreement?
Because, Your Honor, I submit, Your Honor, what they did was they also sued us, and we were required to defend that lawsuit.
You sued them, actually.
Well, actually, they were cross-suits filed on the same day. But, yes, as a result of this, there was a defense of an action which created a great deal of expense. And at the end of the day, the jury found that TAC had violated the ICC, which is written into every contract for sales. It is a violation. It's a breach. And, therefore, we were entitled to our attorney's fees. And if there are no further questions from the court, I will sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Piffley?
Yes, Your Honor. I would like to point to Section 2.3 and the language in there that talks about for such return delivery being borne by the party responsible for termination. Can we just throw that language out of the contract? And getting back to this contract here, if we have to interpret the contract, and we have to interpret it in conjunction with the language that is in the contract. And if we throw that language out of the contract, then what we're doing is taking away part of the agreement that the parties agreed to. The value of the goods, switching to the goods in Japan, of course, the reason for Biomet wanting the goods in Japan is that Biomet did not have to pay for the import. They didn't have the import licenses, and they didn't put in the investment for the import licenses. So they essentially would be getting a windfall. And that's what happens when you renegotiate the contract at the end of the day. What happens is Biomet would, one party gets a windfall and is subsidized by the other party's hard work. And that's the problem with interpreting this contract and saying that there was no place for return delivery. When the parties entered into the contract in 1989, Biomet didn't have a subsidiary in Japan. If the contract was terminated the day after the parties entered into it, the only place the inventory could be returned to would be the United States, because that's the only place the inventory came from. And this contract was never amended at any time. So what the parties intended back in February 11, 1989, was that the inventory be returned to the United States. And we asked that the contract be enforced. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.